A lot of stuff going on. I told Anthony this morning that of all the public people that I know, the only one that I have complete confidence in that understands that we as Christians have as a priority to try to bring people to Jesus Christ is Franklin Graham. And you need to know, here at this church, he's one of our priorities. He's got a voter list out on his magazine that you can find on his Facebook. I haven't looked at it because I went to it last night, and it was a couple more places over, and I didn't go far enough to get it. But I've never preached a sermon and mentioned the word vote that I know of. But we're facing probably the biggest dilemma, or at least the way it looks, one of the biggest dilemmas our countries have faced. So I've entitled this one this morning, The Christian Voter. I do not intend to tell anybody how to vote. I think it's my own personal idea is that I try my best to convince everyone to not make a move without calling on the Holy Spirit and asking the Holy Spirit's opinion about what they're fixing to do and get His guidance and leadership in everything they choose to do. And I need to be, I think, very, very careful that I don't step on the Holy Spirit's toes in your life. I don't want to do that. We were talking a couple of weeks ago about this prison thing, and I asked David Daniels. David, where is God in all this? And he said, Brother Joe, I don't know. Well, I hadn't figured it out yet either. But I'm going to say this, that wherever God is, that's where I want to be. Whatever He wants me to do, that's what I want to do. And I can't always look at situations and tell the way it ought to be and where I ought to be without Him telling me. It says in Jeremiah that it is not in the heart of the man that walks to direct his own path. So I realize I cannot do that. In my flesh, that is in the natural man, with my brain, I cannot decide what spiritual things are and what they're not. I have to be told by the Holy Spirit of God which is which. And I understand that. I understand I can't teach you anything. But I can bring to your mind things in the Scriptures and in the Holy Spirit that you have in your heart can teach you. And that's my goal. But I can show you some things that God says that I don't believe as Christians we can back up on. We talked about three things last week that God will not compromise on. One of them is a marriage between a man and a woman. My mind went blank. The other is freedom to worship.
Sanctity of life.
And the other is sanctity of life. I'm sorry. Thank you. There's my brain over there. Those things God won't back up on. We can't compromise those things that God stands for and teaches us and still be in good stead with Him. I'd like to show you something this morning that not from any place you haven't seen. We've used these scriptures before. But I'd like to show you maybe in a little bit different context. And in the series, I've got them set up, there's seven of them. And then I want to say something about them after we get through. The first one is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Peter, after he had been so rambunctious before he was born again, and I don't believe he was until Jesus looked across the fire in Pilate's hall at him when he had denounced Jesus the third time when the cock crowed. It said he went away very sorrowful. Jesus had just said a couple of pages over in my Bible, Peter, when thou art converted, so he wasn't converted then. And that was when he was talking with him the night before he was put on the cross. But when Peter turned around and he wrote 1 and 2 Peter. There's some awful good stuff out of here. Verse 8. Be sober. Are serious. Be vigilant and watch, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now understand something, please. When Satan was kicked out of heaven, he did not go to hell. Satan has never been the leader of hell. Satan was kicked out of heaven and came to earth. This is where he's been living all this time. He will wind up in the lake of fire, but he's not there now. He's on this earth, and he's walking back and forth, looking, as with all of his demons that follow him, one-third of the angels that were in heaven are helping him to destroy God's work here on this earth. And they are all walking back and forth trying to find somebody that they can destroy. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What Peter's saying is, resist Satan. That is what God says we're to do, is say no. Because the same things that he's doing to us is the same thing he's doing to all other Christians all over the world. So we're not treated any differently than anybody else. But the way to deal with Satan is just say no. He works on our minds. He tries to give us ideas that will cause us to make decisions that are against God. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Just like he did Jesus. He's got the same plan for you that he had for Jesus. When Jesus was born down here as a person like you and I, God had to make Jesus what he was as a human, and be an example for us to be the first one in the church. So these are the things he did to Jesus, and these are the things he's doing to us to make us like Jesus. After you've suffered a little bit, you see, because we don't understand God's way, we don't make those good decisions to start with. We have to be slapped around a little bit. And if you're hard-headed as me, you have to be slapped around a lot. But he's bringing us to be like our big brother, Jesus Christ. Turn, if you will, scripture number 2 is 2 Corinthians, verse 5. Now understand something. I assume, and I think I can do that, that everyone in this room are Christians. They're born again believers. And it's fixing to show us what we are. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Now all things are of God. Now that we are a new creature, when we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, he made us a righteous person immediately. We didn't have to learn to be righteous. He made us a righteous person. And then we started learning to do righteous things. And now all things are of God. I have had people tell me, well, you know, in the business world, you've got to separate your spiritual life from your business life. In politics, you've got to leave your religious life over here and your political life over here. You've got to separate everything. The people who would tell you that you have reality from any other part of your life are not Christians, because they don't understand we can't do that. We can't do that. Our Holy Spirit goes along with us in everything that we do. And God is in the business of meddling in every decision we make and everything we choose to do to get us to do it like he wants us to do it. We have become a new creature. And now all things are of God. Everything we do is about God. And we can't do anything without taking God's opinion into consideration. Unless we want to mess up real bad. Everything now is a God thing, because we are God things. Scripture number 3, turn to Titus. Turn to Titus. We see that God has got us and who we are. We're new creatures now. We belong to God. And everything that we do has something to do with God. We can't separate it. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 15. Now listen to this. Unto the pure, all things are pure. This new creature we are now, everything is pure to us because God made it that way. Unto them, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. And let me explain something about that. He's making a contrast here. He's telling us the difference between those people out there that you know every day. Maybe you work with them. Maybe you brush shoulders with them going in and out of places. Maybe they're your kin people. Maybe even some of your family. They're unbelievers. And he just described what we are as believers. Now he's describing what they are as unbelievers. They're defiled, contaminated is the word, and unbelieving. And nothing is pure to them. And even their mind and conscience is defiled. Now look, if my mind, if I'm trying to control it based on what the Holy Spirit wants me to think, he says in Psalms, David says it, even if I let a bad thought get in my heart and don't get it out of there or ask God to get it out of my mind, then he won't listen to my prayers. So every time a bad thought gets in my mind, I've got to pray and ask God, get it out of there. If I can't do it myself, you get it out. But here's the thing. You know in your own life that when you do something you know is wrong, what happens? Your conscience starts bugging you. And you, it's like David said, even my bones are roaring because he sinned with Bathsheba. And before he repented of that sin, he hurt all over. Even when we do bad things, our conscience convicts us of our sin, and we want to get as quick as we can to God and say, "Forgive me, Lord." And we know, we've learned that when we do that, everything is forgiven. It's just that quick. These people, even their conscience is defiled. This is the unbelievers that walk around us. They don't have a Christian conscience. And when they do something bad, and they realize it's bad, there's nothing inside of them bugging them about it. So why would they change their ways? I told somebody several months ago, well, there's something you got to understand about Alabama people as a rule. Most of them, whether they're believers or not, know something about Jesus because there's churches on every corner. It's not like California where you got to go hunt one. And they believe that when Jesus gets in a person, that person changes. That's just what he said. He's a new creature. That's what our Bible said. And even for people who don't know Jesus, they understand that when a person starts going to church, you're going to see a change. He's going to get to be a better person. And we're looking for that. Verse 16. They profess that they know God. Oh, gosh. There are people on my television that will tell you that they are living at the foot of the cross. They say, "I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. But I know God. I go to church, or I go to mass, or I go to whatever." But listen, they profess that they know God. Why? Because it's a cool thing to do that. If you're going to sell insurance, you better go to church. Because you can meet a lot of people there you can sell insurance to. They'll think you're a square guy because you go to church with them. Same way with selling anything. One of the things they tell you when you get into be a salesman is go to church. Because everybody will think you're okay and they'll buy stuff from you. People profess to know God. Even politicians do that because they've learned to tell you what they think you need to hear to believe that they're good folks. But in works, they deny God. Just watch them. Just watch them. You can see pretty quick. I don't care what they say. You remember Jesus told the Pharisees, "You guys are liars. You're lying to the people." That means that you are of your father, the devil, because he was a liar. There wasn't any truth in him. People who stand in front of you and can lie and never even their eyes wiggle or look off, don't believe them. Jesus can't let somebody do that day after day after day without bothering them. But in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. When it comes down to doing the right thing, they won't do it. They'll stand up there and lie to you and then go do something that they know is not right. That's the unbelievers. That's the unbelievers. There's a filter in us. I read a book here lately about a filter. We each have a different filter. You know what a filter is? It's something that lets some stuff in and keeps other stuff out. Well, all of us have different filters, y'all. We're born with a filter. We are raised with a filter. Our parents give us something to do with our filter. And when we get to a grown age, we have a filter. When stuff we see, stuff we hear, stuff we read comes through that filter, every one of us lets some of that stuff through and keeps other stuff out. And all of us have a different filter. But God says He wants us all to be alike. So He's got to make all of us have the same filter over a period of time where we'll allow the same things to come in and keep the same dirty things out. It's a neat way of looking at it. I never thought about it until this guy explained it. But that's the way it is. But let me say this. That's what we are now. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. This explains to us what we were before. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath He quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's what we were before we were saved. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Before we were saved, we walked like the unbelievers walk, according to the course of the world. Whatever the world tells them to do, that's what they do. I remember in college, I was taught that if I got out of school and I could borrow $35,000 and I didn't borrow but $20,000, I wasn't living up to near my capacity. And that idea like to broke me before I got sense enough to know better. That's the way the world operates. They tell you all that stuff. According to the course of the world, and here's the thing, according to the world, and then look what he says next. According to the principle of the power of the air. That's Satan. So when we follow the world, we're following Satan because Satan runs the world. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our behavior in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath or Satan, even as others. We did what felt good. We did what our mind told us to do. We did what we reasoned in our mind was the thing to do. We can't trust our own mind. It says the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can believe it? So we've got to learn to quit trusting our brain and start trusting God and the Holy Spirit. And that's the way we were, like the unbelievers are now. It's not a nice thing to be that way. They're not harmless people living next door to you. They're capable of doing anything Satan would do. Their obedience was to themselves and to Satan, who controls them. Now we're controlled by God. Satan doesn't have any control over Christians. We have a choice. If we try to do anything else but what God wants us to do, the Holy Spirit steps in and starts saying, hey, you don't need to do that. You better quit. Trying to make examples out of all of us. That's what God is trying to do. That's what Jesus was. He's trying to make us like Jesus to be examples to other people. The next two words are the two biggest words in the whole Bible. Little old common three-letter words. But God. When we were doing all that mischief, when we was living like that, when we were dead in trespasses and sins, God, it says, but God. He came along and interrupted everything. Who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or given us life together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. But God, thank God for meddling in our business. 1 John 5:19, don't turn there, says, we are of God, but the whole world lies under the wicked one. Now that is the true situation, folks. The whole world is led and controlled by Satan. He can take control, Timothy says, of whoever he wants to, as long as they're unsaved. He can make them do anything he wants them to do. That's a scary idea. But something is scarier. Look at Romans chapter 13. Only one little verse there. And it's a whole chapter about being obedient to people who are in authority over you. But this one verse is enough. I won't belabor you with it. Chapter 13 of Romans and verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, or the government authorities is what that means. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. God allowed people who are in positions of authority over you to be there. And he's behind them. So we're supposed to be obedient to them. That is a scary thought if you turn on my channel news. But praise God, we're Americans. We live in a country that will allow us to vote, to put who we want over us, in authority over us, so we can be obedient to God and do what they tell us to do. I've just gone through what we are and what they are, and what God tells us to do in response to them. And I want to remind you of something. Moses is dead. They've turned the Israelites over to Joshua. He was Moses' assistant. He's got the Israelites now. He's leading them now. They get into the promised land. They've already dealt with Jericho. When they get in there and they got a break from fighting the people that are already there, he calls them all together, the leaders of the Israelites, of the whole nation of God's chosen people, the judges and the leaders, calls them together at a place called Shechem. And he's talking to them. And he gives them a pretty good speech about what they've been through and what God expects out of them now. He's got them in the promised land. They haven't been through all the desert in 40 years. And he says this in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day then whom ye will serve. But Joshua says, as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. So there it is. I had no idea that that conversation that Anthony and I had before this thing started would have something to do with what I'm saying today. But Joshua told God's people, if it seems evil to you to follow the Lord, then follow whatever kind of idols you want to. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. But it's for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Important words coming from our scripture. Now, those are the seven verses that I had. It explains who we are. It explains what God did with us. It explains who the unbelievers are and what they stand for and what God thinks about them and what God says about their ability to be able to tell you to do the right thing. And then it tells you about what he says about being obedient to those that are over you. There are times even like the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and like Daniel, when they got in situations where they couldn't obey the leader, Nebuchadnezzar. And he put them in the lion's den. And he put them in the fiery furnace. And let me tell you something. Praise God. Jesus was walking in the furnace with the three Hebrew children, and God shut the mouths of the lions so they couldn't eat Daniel up. But let me say this, people. There is time after time after time that people like you and I had to face something like that and say, look, I'm sorry. I follow God. I can't do what you tell me to do. I know you're in authority over me, but I can't do it. I guess you'll just have to throw me in the fiery furnace or the den of lions. And you know what? Jesus didn't walk with them in the fiery furnace and didn't shut the lion's mouth. There are stories for the last 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years about that. And that might come to some of us. I don't know. I've never seen this country like it is today. But now here's my comments about all of that. People who don't have Jesus are not harmless. They're under control of Satan to use you to destroy the work of God. Now let me tell you something about spirit world. They're invisible. Their powers are limited to some extent. Where Jesus is strong, the Holy Spirit inside of us causes us to go to jail. And to visit people, and to help the sick, and to help the needy, and to help the weak, and to go and help the widows and the orphans, and give a cold drink of water to somebody who's thirsty. The Spirit inside of us is what causes us to do that, and it looks like when we're doing that, that Jesus is really, really strong. But see what I'm trying to tell you? Jesus works when he's inside of people. Oh, he can do things without that. And Satan can too. But the evil spirits, the dark world, the demons, need to be in somebody. That's the way the spirit world gets things done. That's the reason a man who they can't figure out why got an AK-47 and goes into a school and shoots 30 kids who never done anybody anything. And don't you think when some of them who don't kill, say, well, there were voices in my head told me to do that. Who do you think that is? It's demons. They're possessed by demons. They're talking to them and telling them to do these things, and they do them. So you see, those people who do not belong to Jesus, those demons can get inside their brains, inside their heads, and control them, make them do things that they can't do to us as Christians. To Christians, everything in our life now is a God thing. We are of God, and they are still under the evil one. Please understand that. We are commanded by God to obey those in authority over us. That is part of the mark of a Christian. In America, we're given by God the right to vote authorities in and out of office. Why in the world then would we as Christians put ourselves in a position where we would have to obey a person who is controlled by Satan? That's my question this morning to myself and to you. And this is about me. I don't belong to a political party. I'm not going to have a political party tell me who to vote for and who not to. I do not belong to a denomination, spiritually speaking. A man showed me his cell phone yesterday with a meeting they're having in California with the Methodists and the Episcopals and the Presbyterians to see what they're going to do about LGBT clergy. They've already got homosexual preachers that are women. They've already got men homosexual preachers, and that's okay. And they have started a movement in those churches to separate themselves from those old dummies like us that believe in the Bible and believe in God and don't accept that stuff. And they're creating, they call them traditionalists, people who believe the Bible. So I don't belong to a denomination of any kind. I'm a Christian. I belong to Jesus Christ. He's the only one that I choose to obey. And like Joshua said, the question is out to all of us. Before you pull that handle, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Because God says if you put him in there, within reason, you're supposed to do what he says. Let's pray. Father, give us the idea that you need to tell us who to vote for, that we don't have the capacity to make up our own minds. Show us what priorities there are. Have us vote for somebody who understands that we're Christians and that we need to follow you. And if you'll do this for us, we'll be sure we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor that should come to you for you backing somebody that stands for you in your ways. Defend yourself, Lord, I pray, and forgive us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.